Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for this Shabbat day. Thank you for this breath of life that you've given to us. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins that we've committed, knowingly and unknowingly, that you hear our prayer. Father, once again, thank you for this Shabbat day. Thank you for setting this time apart for us to come commune with you, come speak with you, Father. Thank you for protecting us throughout this week, giving us the strength to overcome any hurdles and obstacles, Father. Thank you for blessing us with the lessons from those obstacles and hurdles. Thank you for life and strength and health. We just thank you, Father. Thank you for all your protections. Keep protecting us, Father. Father, we ask that you open our minds up to your word, that you show us, and that we all see, Father, that we can't trust in the system. It does not have our best interests in it. It's nothing like you, Father. Help us to detach from it more and more. You said be in this world, but don't be of it. We have to live in this world, but our dependence should be solely upon you, Father. So we ask, Father, to strengthen us, keep our eyes on you. When we go to the left and to the right, Father, chastise us to get us back on that straight and narrow path. Let us be our brothers' keepers, our sisters' keepers, Father. When we see somebody going to the left or to the right, tell them. Let's not be afraid of each other's eyes. And let us be humble enough to accept correction from one another. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. It's your brother, David Well. And this is the last of the 6 weeks I've been blessed with for Magnify Thy Torah, Make It Honorable. And this week, we're going to talk about fair compensation. But, you know, Abba has led me, I've been, you know, working where we work in the hospital. A lot of stuff has been coming up about this COVID-19 vaccine, and I've been looking into some different things and reading up on different things about it, and I shared some things with the brothers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, the more that you read and see that this place is just so wicked, and it's totally against Abba. The whole world system is just totally against Abba. You know, when I read the stuff that I read, it just blew my mind. Because nowhere within law does that apply. You can't apply. They just make up stuff as they go. And it's, when we get to it, we'll get to it. But first of all, let's see. We're going to read three passages where Abba talks about being compensated, being fair. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 21, starting at verses 18 and 19. So let's start there. I hope everyone hears me clearly. We'll start. We're going to Shemot chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, "And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed." So two men are fighting. Somebody hits another one with a rock, hit him upside the head with a brick or something like that. Or he's beating up another man to the point. And, you know, this, when I thought about this, when I read it, it just shows the viciousness of men, even back then, you know, because nowadays you see these people and they're beating up somebody and they're kicking them and they're stomping them and they're kicking them and not stopping, to the point where they want to hospitalize or turn them into a vegetable or something, you know. But this is the case where Abba is talking about. Like, you beat a man up so bad that he's not dead, but he's seriously injured, right? He says, with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keep of his bed. So now, he can't get up and work in the morning. He can't do what his normal routine to earn himself a living. Because he has to stay in the bed. He has to rehab. He has to heal from his injuries. Heal from his injuries that you did to him. Because y'all were fighting. Verse 19. It says, "If he rises again and walk abroad upon his staff." Now he's not walking on his own. Now he near crutch. He said, "If he rises again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. If he can rise up and walk upon his staff, don't got to do nothing. He good, because he can." Y'all were fighting, and that's what happens when you fight, right? It says, "Only he shall pay for his loss of time." So he's getting up and he's walking. You're clear of that, because y'all was fighting. You're clear of the guilt of hurting your brother because you was fighting. But you got to compensate this man for his loss of time, because he can't. It says loss of time, and he shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And you got to pay for the injury that you inflicted upon him, because y'all was fighting. And you also want to make your brother whole. You ought to. Even though it was the heat of the moment thing. And men are going to strive with one another. They're going to fight. You know, so the hierarchy. They're going to fight. They're going to strive with one another. But I would want, okay, after the fight, now what? Let's be fair. Let's go down a little bit. To same chapter. Go down to verse 28. In that same chapter, it says, if an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. So, you got an ox, it accidentally gore, it kills someone, kills a man or a woman. That happens. You're dealing with a beast. And sometimes these beasts get a little rowdy. They get the gore and they get the bucking and this, that, and another. And they get hit. Well, it wasn't on purpose. Verse 29. But if the ox were wont to push with his horns in times past, and has been testified to his owner, and he has not kept him in, but that he have killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So, okay, now you got this ox who didn't hurt people in the past, and they told the owner, and the owner didn't do anything about it. And it hurt again, and it hurt again, and it hurt again, and the owner didn't do anything about it. What did he say? Kill the ox and kill the owner. Because you're allowing that ox to kill people. You're not keeping them in. You're not holding, you know, it's like a dog who keeps on getting loose, and biting people. Keeps on getting loose and biting people. And you know, where I live, it's very, you know, it's very frequent where you see pit bulls off the leash and they just running and walking around and this and another. You know, if those dogs start biting people, what's going to happen? The people gonna call the dog catcher, and they're gonna end up killing. They're gonna kill that dog because you did not take care of your animal. You didn't lock your animal up, and it was made aware to you that this dog is doing this. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 35 and 36. Vayikra, or Leviticus 35, and it reads, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in net yard, in weight, or in measure. So what he say off the bat, do not be unrighteous in the way you think. You know, don't slant your judgment for somebody who's favorable to you. If the popular guy did wrong, guess what? He's wrong. He says, a net yard, that's measurements, you know, the length, like an inch is an inch, a foot is a foot. You know, don't, like the song we sing, many times they have afflicted me from my youth, but they shall not prevail. One of the things that they say is that, he said, the plow is plowing my back. They made their furrows long. The word furrow is a type of measurement. So they lengthened their furrows. So they was cheating us. You know, they was taking extra feet, extra space that they wasn't supposed to. Right? He says, and weight, you know, how much the weight of stuff or a measurement. So don't cheat your brothers. Don't cheat them. Plain and simple. Don't be unrighteous in that. Verse 36. Just balances, just sweets, a just ephah, and a just hen shall ye have. I am Yahweh, your mighty one, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Period. That's why. Be correct with your brothers. You know? Don't be unrighteous with them. Be just with them. You know? Don't want to cheat them. Because if you don't cheat them, what do you should say? What do you say? He says it in this context. But listen to what he says. He says, and this is in Matthew chapter 5. Starting at verse 38. Matityahu chapter 5, starting at verse 38. He says, You have heard that have been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now he's using it in the context of not resisting evil. Whoever smites you on the right cheek, he says, turn the other cheek also. Let him smite you on the left. No. Don't get into a battle that's unnecessary. All right? Don't, as they say, fight fire with fire. Try to defuse situations with brothers and sisters. Keep the peace. That's what he's saying. All right? Don't let nobody hurt you. Because he also said, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. All right? He says, I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Right? So what he's saying to you is no different than what he said in Leviticus. If you go these extra things, if you have this mindset of doing extra and going that extra mile, you'll never do unrighteousness with your brother because you're not looking to defraud him. So he says, look, America, all right, this is going to stop you. You gonna see me for my coat? No problem. Here's my cloak also. Now are we good? You need me to go a mile with you? No problem. I'm gonna go 2 miles with you. Are we good? You know, I'm not looking to not looking to cheat you, brother. You know, that's the point. I'm not looking to do you any wrong. Matter of fact, I'm looking to do your good. With that being said, I'm gonna read y'all some stuff that I came across in regards to this medication and the COVID-19 medication. And again, when I heard this, it just, I had to share it. You know, and this came off of CNBC, Health and Science, published on December 17th, 2020. Right? Headline: you can't sue Pfizer or Moderna if you have severe COVID vaccine side effects. The government likely won't compensate you for damages either. Now, Pfizer or Moderna, these are the two manufacturers of this COVID-19 vaccination. If you have side effects or allergic reactions to them, you cannot sue them. Let me read. Now all this stuff on the pop-up. It reads, if you experience severe side effects after getting a COVID vaccine, lawyers tell CNBC there is basically no one to blame in a U.S. court of law. The federal government has granted companies like Pfizer and Moderna immunity from liability if something unintentionally goes wrong with their vaccines. So you take this vaccine and you have any adverse reaction to it, because there have been allergic reactions reported to the point where some people even got Bell's palsy. Now, Bell's palsy is where a side of your face slumps. My brother had it, you know, and it's not there all the time, but like the nerves in your face, you can't control them, you know. But some people have even reported that, but there's no one to sue. You can't take no one to court, even though they know this is a side effect of taking this vaccine. It says, it is very rare for a blanket immunity law to be passed, says Raj Dunn, a Dallas labor and employment attorney. Pharmaceutical companies typically aren't offered much liability protection under the law. You also can't sue the Food and Drug Administration for authorizing a vaccine for emergency use, nor can you hold your employer accountable if they mandate inoculation as a condition of employment. So you can't sue the people who made the stuff. You can't sue the government who said the stuff was okay to use. And another article I got has the numbers, and it's astounding what the FDA allows. It's wait till we get to it. It says, so we can't sue the government can't sue the makers. And you, and if your employers, excuse me, sorry about that. If your employers make this a condition of employment and you get sick off of it or have an allergic reaction, you can't sue them either. Everybody is immune to this. So if you get this, this quote-unquote inoculation, because it's not really an inoculation, it's not really a vaccine. You know, according to the numbers, it's not a vaccine. But when something happens to you, there's no one to compensate you. There's no one to compensate you. So if you have to live your life in a wheelchair, let's say, or if you can't perform your job, you can't sue anybody. And you just have to live your life that way because nobody's owning up. Nope, can't sue me. I just made the stuff. Nope, can't sue me. I just says, okay, it was safe. Nope, you can't sue me because you need a job. Keep reading. It says, Congress created a fund specifically to help cover lost wages and out of pocket medical expenses for people who have been irreparably harmed by a COVID countermeasure, that's in quotations, quotes, a COVID countermeasure, such as a vaccine. But it is difficult to use and rarely pays. Attorneys say it has compensated less than 6% of the claims filed in the last decade. So Congress got the money. They set aside a fund which they put money in. It's a month. It's a fund. They put money in it constantly. That money goes in constantly. But it pays out less than 6% of the files claimed for it in the last decade. So the money's there. We got money to compensate you. We just ain't giving it to you. We keep reading. In February, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar invoked the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. This is the PREP Act that you might have heard of. The 2005 law empowers the HHS, Health and Human Services Secretary, to provide legal protection to companies making or distributing critical medical supplies, such as vaccines and treatments, unless there's quote unquote willful misconduct by the company. The protection lasts until 2024. Yes, that means for the next 4 years, these companies quote unquote cannot be sued for money damages in court. So for the next 4 years, if anything happens to you, you can't sue these people. It says you cannot be sued for the next 4 years, cannot sue for money damages in court over injuries related to the administration or use of products to treat or protect against COVID. HHS did not respond to CNBC's request for an interview. Dunn thinks a big reason for the unprecedented protection has to do with the expedited timeline. When the government, the name of this thing is called Operation Warp Speed. That was the name of them getting this vaccine out, and that's why it came out so quick. The name of it was Operation Warp Speed. You will find out why in a couple of minutes. It says, this is the guy talking again, the guy Dunn. It says, when the government said, we want you to develop this 4 or 5 times faster than you normally do, Most likely, the manufacturer said to the government, we want you, the government, to protect us from multi-million dollar lawsuits, says Dunn. The quickest vaccine ever developed, was for mumps. It took 4 years and was licensed in 1967. Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine was developed and cleared for emergency use in 8 months. 8 months it took them to develop this vaccine and clear it. A pregnancy is longer than that. It takes longer for a child to be born into this earth than it took for them to take this vaccine and now be able to administer it to people. What information do they know? In 8 months, it says, Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine was developed and cleared for emergency use in 8 months, a fact that has fueled public mistrust of the coronavirus inoculation in the U.S. It says, roughly 4 in 10 Americans say they would definitely or probably not get vaccinated. It says 4 in 10, so that means 6 in 10 will. It says, according to a recent survey by the Pew Research Center, while this is lower than it was 2 months ago, it still points to a huge trust gap. But drug makers like Pfizer continue to reassure the public no shortcuts were taken. Quote, this is a vaccine that was developed without cutting corners, CEO Dr. Albert Bourla said in an interview with CNBC's Squawk Box on Monday. This is a vaccine that is getting approved by all authorities in the world. That should say something. That's right, it does. All authorities in the world are crooked. Every last one of them. That's all it says. All of them are crooked and only looking out for themselves. Here's a question. Because one thing that I read is that the CEO of Pfizer himself, the leader, has not taken the vaccine. Wait a minute. If it's safe, because you claim it's 94% inoculation and this, that, and another. If it's safe, why didn't you take it? Isn't this a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic? You're not affected by it? Why aren't you and your family inoculated? Matter of fact, the word of Yahweh said that when a man grows grapes, isn't he the first one to taste from that vineyard? If a man is growing grapes, he growing grapes. Ain't nobody eating out of the grapes I grew before me. I got to taste them first before I give them to anybody else. Fine, you developed this vaccine. Why didn't you take it? You say it's safe. If that's really what you believe, if that's really what you really putting your trust in it, why didn't you take it, buddy? He says, let me get back to reading. I'm sorry. It says, the legal immunity granted to pharmaceutical companies doesn't just guard them against lawsuits. Dunn said it helps lower the cost of the immunizations. So now they're getting a kickback on top of that. All about money. They're not worrying about it. Think about in the next 4 years how much money they're going to make. Because after the next 4 years, you're going to start seeing those commercials on TV. Have you had side effects related to the COVID-19 vaccination by Pfizer or Moderna? The statute of limitations isn't up. We don't care if you were 18 or 19. All that stuff comes up. You're going to start seeing commercials for it. But within those 4 years, you're going to have all these people suffering. because they're out here just worrying about money. Another quote from Dunn. It says, the government doesn't want people suing the companies making the COVID vaccine, because then the manufacturers would probably charge the government a higher price per person per dose, end quote. Pfizer and Moderna did not return CNBC's request for comment on the legal protections. This next headline says, is anybody liable? Is anyone liable? Remember, vaccine manufacturers aren't the ones approving the product for mass distribution. That is the job of the FDA, which begs the question, can you sue the U.S. government if you have an extraordinarily bad reaction to the vaccine? Again, the answer is no. Quote, you can't sue the FDA for approving or disapproving a drug, says Dorit Reese, a professor at the University of California, Hastings College of Law. That's part of its sovereign immunity. So whatever the FDA allows, it just allows, and you can't sue them for it. And remember, it's the Food and Drug Administration. So whatever they're allowing in the food, you can't sue them for it. Sovereign immunity came from the king, explains Dunn, referring to British law before the American Revolution. You cannot, this is a quote, you cannot sue the king. So America has sovereign immunity, and even each state has sovereign immunity. There are limited exceptions, but Dunn said he doesn't think they provide a viable legal path to hold the federal government responsible for a COVID vaccine injury. Bringing workers back to the office in a post-COVID world also carries with it a heightened fear of liability for employers. Lawyers across the country say their corporate clients are reaching out to them to ask whether they can require employees to get immunized. I had a hard time with that one. Dunn's clients who run businesses serving customers in person or on site are mostly interested in mandating a COVID vaccine for staff. Another quote from them. They say it's a selling point. It's particularly important for restaurants, bars, gyms, and salons. My clients in that segment of the service industry are looking hard and making it mandatory as a sales point to their customers. So the smaller businesses, right? Salons, but restaurants, bars, gyms are looking to make this, because these was the ones, when you look at who was shutting, who was getting shut down, they were the ones. So now they're looking to make it mandatory for their employees, the people who work there, to be vaccinated. Because if we inoculated, if we're vaccinated, then you have no fear of this COVID-19. It says, while this is in part a public relations tactic, it is legally within an employer's right to impose such a requirement. Requiring the vaccine is a health and safety work rule, and employers can do that, says Reese. That's a quote. He says that there are a few notable exceptions. If a workforce is unionized, the collective bargaining agreement may require negotiating with the union before mandating a vaccine. So if you're part of a union, you might have a way out. Here's another one. Anti-discrimination laws provide some protections as well. Under the Americans with Disabilities Act, workers who do not want to be vaccinated for medical reasons are eligible to request an exemption. If taking the vaccine is a violation of a, quote-unquote, sincerely held religious belief, Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 would potentially provide a way to opt out. Now, with that one, your wording on it is crucial, because I just went through this, me personally, there you will, just went through this and I was denied. So, my sister Carlita had it written down, and the way it was worded, it went through. So hers went through, mine was denied. Okay? So now the wording of your what is it? Religious belief, or the wording of your argument is very crucial to this when it comes to this one in particular. Because they're going to look at it. All right. Now, I went the route of saying what it was made of, pork. Like this contains pork, and it contains this, that, and another. They came back and they said they denied it because they don't make it with pork. That's what they said. So they denied it. My sister Carlita, she went the route of actually using her body as the temple and how it can't be defiled. Okay, we can accept that one. So, and they accepted it, you know, because I talked to my sister, you know, and I'm getting the rewording, and she says, so you want a copy? Sure do, you know. So I'm going to resubmit. All right? But when you go about these things, the wording of it is crucial with that, as far as that goes. All right? Where am I? All right. It says, should none of these exemptions apply, employees may have some legal recourse if they suffer debilitating side effects following a work mandated COVID inoculation. It says, attorneys say claims will most likely be routed through workers' compensation programs and treated as on-the-job injuries, but there are significant limits or caps on the damages an employee can recover, says Dunn. He added that it will most likely be difficult to prove. So they truly are doing everything they can not to compensate you if you get hurt by this vaccination. This is unprecedented. This with this COVID-19. This is unprecedented. There's not anything that hurts a person where you cannot sue them. Sue a person for compensation of being hurt by it. You know? These guys are doing everything that they can to cover themselves. All right. Okay. Mandatory vaccination protocols, however, may not happen until the FDA formally approves the vaccines and grants Pfizer And BioNTech, this is another company that is making these vaccinations. Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna are the three biggest. It says, and Grant Pfizer and BioNTech or Moderna are licensed to sell them, which will take several more months of data to show their safety and effectiveness. An emergency use authorization, this is another quote, an emergency use authorization is not a license. There's a legal question as to whether you can mandate an emergency observation. The language of the act is somewhat unclear on that. Okay. All right. All right. It says, the government has created a way for people to recover some damages should something go wrong following immunization. Now, this is their way out. In addition to the legal immunity, the PrEP Act established the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which provides benefits to eligible individuals who suffer serious injury from one of the protected companies. The little-known government program has been around for a decade and is managed by an agency under HHS. This fund typically only deals with vaccines you probably would never get, like the H1N1 and anthrax vaccines. If a case for compensation through the CICP is successful, the program provides up to $50,000 per year in unreimbursed lost wages and out-of-pocket medical expenses. It won't cover legal fees or anything to compensate for pain and suffering. It's also capped at the death benefit of $370,376, which is the most a surviving member receives in the event that a COVID vaccine proves to be fatal. But experts specializing in vaccines law say it is difficult to navigate. So, okay, like we said earlier, they set up a fund, but then made it almost impossible to get. Because like we read earlier, only 6% of the files have been paid over the last decade. He says, but experts specializing in vaccine law say it's difficult to navigate. This government compensation program is very hard to use, says Reese. The bar for compensation is very high. Also worrisome to some vaccine injury lawyers is the fact that the CICP has rejected a majority of the compensation requests made since the program began 10 years ago. Of the 499 claims filed, the CICP has compensated only 29 claims. Out of almost 500 claims, only 29 have been compensated, totaling more than $6 million. I guarantee you they put way more than $6 million in that per year. What they doing with their money? It says, David Carney, a vice president of the Vaccine Bar Association, said the CICP may deny a claim for a variety of reasons. One reason might be that the medical records, this is him talking now, quote, one reason might be that the medical records don't support a claim, says Carney, who regularly deals with vaccine injury cases. We have to litigate a lot of really complex issues and provide a medical basis for why the injury occurred. it occurred because you injected this crap up in me. That's why it occurred. I wasn't like this before you injected this crap up in me. What Yahweh say? Righteous judgments. Proving the injury was a direct result of the COVID vaccine could be difficult, according to Carney. It's not as simple as saying, hey, I got a COVID treatment and now I have an injury. But there's a lot of burden of proof there. Okay, let's say that's true. What if, because I actually saw a video where a woman took the COVID-19 and she was up in a chair and all of a sudden she just falls out the chair. Now let's say she got injured from falling out of the chair. Injured from when she fell out the chair. Because after she fell out the chair to the floor. There was all these doctors around her. Now, are you going to say that that injury came to her because she fell out the chair? But she was sitting up straight in the chair before you injected that vaccine in her. So isn't the vaccine the cause? See, righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. No. It wasn't because of the vaccine. It was because of the fall. The vaccine didn't break her arm. But if she didn't fall out the chair, which the vaccine caused her to do, she wouldn't have broke her arm either.
He
says, there is a lot of burden of proof there. There is also a strict 1-year statute, meaning that all claims have to be filed within 12 months of receiving the vaccine. So if you don't get it within that year, you stuck with it. It says, people are harmed by people who are harmed by a COVID vaccine deserve to be compensated fast and generously, says Reese. The PrEP Act doesn't do that. Okay. Okay. All right. We're going to stop right there. No, that's really not that much more with this one. Okay. It says, lawyers tell CNBC that it would make more sense for COVID vaccine injuries to instead be routed through another program under the HHS called the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which handles claims for 16 routine vaccines. Known as Vaccine Court, the program paid on about 70% of petitions adjudicated by the court from 2006 to 2018. So this court pays, it does the same thing, but it pays out 70%. People, there is a way around it, but now they didn't made it so this COVID-19 has immunity to it. You know, the COVID-19 isn't going through this particular route where people can get compensated for their injuries. It says, as census began considering claims in 1988, the VICP has paid approximately $4.4 billion in total compensation versus the $6 million from the 29 cases of the other one. You know? It says that dwarfs the CICP's roughly $6 million in paid benefits over the life of the program. The VICP also gives you more time to file your claim. You have 3 years from the date of your first symptom to file the compensation versus the 1 year. You see how they're protecting this particular one? How is it that you already have laws set up to handle this? You already have a court set up to handle this, but yet you take this one and you isolate it from everything else? How is that? What are you doing? So what he says, it says you have 3 years from the date of the first symptoms to file for compensation. The VICP allows for recovery of pain and suffering, something that the other one don't do. Attorney's fees, something that the other one don't do, along with medical expenses and lost wages. Says Michael Maxwell, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's the way of Yahweh. You inflicted this suffering, pay the man. Said Michael Maxwell, a lawyer who practices in the areas of business litigation and personal injury. Under the CICP, it's only lost wages and out-of-pocket medical expenses. That's it, unless there's a death. The COVID-19 vaccines, however, aren't on the list of eligible vaccines. Why? It's a vaccine. This thing is called vaccine court. Why? Because somebody is using unrighteous judgment. Somebody is using unjust balances. It says, Reese says the best fix was to change VICP's rule books and to add COVID vaccines to his list that covered inoculations. That will require legislative change. I hope that legislative change happens. That's the end of that one. Got one more to read for y'all. Really had two, but I'm pretty sure time ain't going to allow. And what I'll do is this is already on the GroupMe chat. What I'll do is I'll send these articles out to everybody too, just in case y'all, you know, are interested. Now this one here is, it says, employers can bar unvaccinated employees from the workplace, EEO says. Oh, man. Don't start messing up now. Okay. Employers can bar unvaccinated employees from the workplace, EEO says, EEOC. And it says, with the first doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine now being administered in the U.S., the federal government is giving employers around the country the green light to require immunization for most workers. Now, we just read how that was legally, quote-unquote, legally their right to do. So you're going to hear some stuff that we already read, but I think this is the one that let me read. It says, in general, companies have the legal right to mandate that employees get a COVID-19 shot. The Equal Opportunity Employee Commission said Wednesday. More specifically, employees are entitled and required to ensure a safe workplace in which an individual, quote unquote, shall not pose a direct threat to the health or safety of individuals in the workplace. That can mean a company requiring this workforce. That can mean a company requiring its workforce to be vaccinated. The Americans with Disability Act limits the employees' ability to require the workers to get a medical examination. But the EEOC's latest guideline clarifies that getting vaccinated does not constitute a medical examination. As a result, ordering employees to get a COVID-19 shot would not violate the ADA. Not all employees must get vaccinated, according to the agencies. Employees with either a disability or sincerely held religious beliefs that prevent them from getting inoculated are exempt, according to the EEOC, which is charged with enforcing laws against workplace discrimination. Quote, if they do require it, an employee can make a request for an accommodation under Americans with Disabilities Act or Title VII if they do request the accommodation. The employer has an obligation to see if accommodation is possible, said Helen Rella, a workplace attorney at Wilk Sundler, a New York law firm. In cases like this, an employer must attempt to make a reasonable accommodation for the worker, like allowing them to work from home, for example. If that's not possible, however, unvaccinated individuals pose a potential threat to either themselves or to others, a company has the right under employment law to exclude them from physically entering the workplace. Let's keep reading. Notably, that does not mean an employer may summarily fire a worker who declines to be vaccinated. So they ain't got to let you in, but you ain't fired either right now. It says they could be eligible for unpaid leave or other similar entitlements under federal, state, and local laws, according to the EEOC. Quote, at some point, if they are on job protected, unpaid leave, that might rise to the level of undue hardship, but it would be on a case-by-case basis, says Sharon Masling, a workplace attorney at Morgan Lewis in Washington, D.C., and former chief of staff to an EEOC commissioner. But the agency's guidance does not mean that if a worker's job can't be done remotely and there's no reasonable way to accommodate the person's wish not to be vaccinated, then the employer can terminate their employment. So if you can't do your job from the house, like in my case, I'm a porter. There's no way I'm doing my job from my house. I cannot remotely do my job. I can't, and I'm not vaccinated. So one, I can't come in. I'm barred from the building. After a while, my unpaid leave, if they decide to give me unpaid leave, would turn to an undue hardship to them. And then they'll have the right to fire me because of me not being vaccinated and posing a potential threat. Even though I don't have it, you know, you test me for it, I don't have it or anything like that. Just because I'm not inoculated, quote unquote, I'm posing a threat to myself and others. That's what they're saying. Is that right? That's the question. Says, the logical conclusion is that if no possible accommodation can be made and the employee's job requires that they be in the physical workplace, like mine, and they pose a direct threat to the safety of the workplace or others, that yes, they could be terminated. That's a quote from Ms. Rella. All right. Okay. Where'd it go? All right. Cool about this. All right. All right, we will get to him. All right. Yes, it's the one. All right. FDA approves second COVID vaccine for emergency use as it clears Moderna for U.S. distribution. This one came today. Published on December 18th. The other two were published on December 17th. All right? So, there's some things I want to read specifically. I'm not going to read the whole article. But what they're doing is they're getting a second wave of doses. Right? But this one has some interesting facts on this particular, on what it actually does. Mm-hmm. All right. The way they administer the doses also, they give you a vaccine, and then 3 to 4 weeks later, they give you a second dose. That's how it works. Now, okay. All right, let me read here this. All right, Moderna's vaccine, like Pfizer's, uses messenger RNA or mRNA technology. It's a new approach to vaccines that uses genetic material to provoke an immune response. In other words, they're shooting the genes of something up in you in this vaccine to cause your body to fight it off. What is the genes of something? What is the something that they're shooting the genetic material of in you? What is it? Is it the pig of, is it the flesh of a pig? Maybe a guinea pig, maybe a rat. Maybe, I mean, what? What are they? What, maybe it's a bat. Who knows? But the genetic material of something is going up in you. Right? He says, it's a new approach to vaccines that uses genetic material to provoke an immune response. Late-stage clinical trial data published last month shows Moderna's vaccine is more than 94% effective in preventing COVID. It's safe and appears to fend off severe disease. To achieve maximum effectiveness, the vaccine requires two doses taken 4 weeks apart. The FDA has indicated, listen to this, y'all. The FDA has indicated it will authorize a COVID-19 vaccine that's safe and at least 50% effective. So, again, the company, I mean, the government says 50% of the people it got to work on. Just 50%. And the word safe is relative. What do you mean safe? Huh? It says the flu vaccine, and this is something else that was I found interesting. The flu vaccine, by comparison, generally reduces people's risk of getting influenza or the flu by 40 to 60% compared with people who aren't inoculated, according to the CDC. So even the flu, these vaccines don't work, he's saying. You're only 40% less likely. It ain't that you ain't going to catch the flu shot, catch the flu. There's plenty of people that get the flu shot and still catch the flu. So they're ineffective. Most likely, they're weakening your immune system. Yahweh did not design you like that. But this stuff that they got with this COVID-19, it only has to work half the time. And the government says, that's cool, as long as it works half the time. That's not right. It's not righteous. Let me keep on reading. It says, the FDA authorized Moderna's vaccine for people who are 18 years or older. Such an authorization from the agency isn't the same as full approval, which requires more data and typically takes several months longer. Moderna has submitted only 2 months of follow-up safety data. 2 months of follow-up safety data. The agency usually requires six months for full approval and can always revoke an EUA for a drug if it doesn't work as intended or proves to be unsafe. What you mean don't work as intended? You allowed it to go through at 50%. And now you want to say, oh, it's not working? Of course it's not. It's not working. It only works half the time from the beginning when you gave it the approval. And then you're going to say we can revoke it for not working? Hypocrites. Not righteous judgment. Then on top of that, the follow-up, they only provided follow-up data for 2 months. 2 months. So after the next 60 days, if something happens to you on day 61, they don't know. So they don't know if it's safe or not. Again, they use all these relative terms. It says, proves to be unsafe. The FDA approved the emergency use of hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19 in March, only to revoke it in June after additional data showed it provided no evidence of benefit in coronavirus patients. Okay. All right. The FDA announcement comes after a key agency advisory panel on Thursday voted 20-0 with one abstention to recommend the vaccine for emergency use. So everybody said, go ahead, use it. Go ahead, send it through. Except for one person who abstained. The Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee plays a key role in approving flu and other vaccines in the U.S., verifying the shots are safe for public use. While the FDA doesn't have to follow the advisory committee's recommendation, it often does. Prior to the vote, some members of the committee stressed that the endorsement of Moderna's vaccine was not for a full FDA approval, reiterating that the agency will still need to review more data on safety and effectiveness, but they're giving them the shots. What you mean? You still got to review more stuff on the safety of it. You called it safe. This is the committee who says that shots are safe. You say they're safe. You vote 20-0 with one person abstaining. Go ahead and give them the flu, but still you got to review more safety. You don't know if it's safe or not. Unrighteous. He says, at the meeting, outside medical experts asked the agency about allergic reactions. Excuse me. At the meeting, outside medical experts asked the agency about allergic reactions reported in two Alaskan healthcare workers who took Pfizer's vaccine. Dorian Fink, a deputy director of FDA's Division of Vaccines and Related Products Application, said the agency is looking into the issues. So you have reports of side effects happening with people. But they're not looking into it yet. They're looking into it. I just said two things that contradict. They're looking into it. They don't have an answer for it yet on the side effects. But it's safe. Quote, as we continue to investigate and evaluate the data, we will consider whether additional recommendations need to be made, he said. At this point, we don't have enough, and this is this guy talking. At this point, we don't have enough data to make a definitive recommendation one way or another, but you injecting this crap in people. And you got people lining up for it. 60%, six out of 10 people lining up for it, ready to go. Basically, they're doing their clinical trials right now. They're doing their human clinical trials right now. You rush out a vaccine and we don't have enough data. Well, guess what? We're going to collect data right now. We're going to inject this stuff up in everybody and see what happens. It says, fatigue, headaches, and muscle pain are the most common side effects from Moderna's vaccine, along with some rare symptoms such as intractable nausea or vomiting and facial swelling that is likely triggered by the shots, according to the FDA. Some side effects were hard to shake, though most resolved within the week, the FDA said. Though it is not necessarily a side effect, it recommends monitoring people who get Pfizer or Moderna's vaccine shots for possible cases of Bell's palsy, a condition that causes sudden freezing or weakness in facial muscles. The agency also noted a higher prevalence of lymphadenopathy, a disease which can produce swollen or enlarged lymph nodes in Pfizer's and Moderna's trials in the vaccine group compared with the placebo groups, but it's safe. Moderna has said its vaccines remain stable at 36 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit, the temperature of a standard home or medical refrigerator, for up to 30 days. It can be stored for up to 6 months at minus 4 degrees Fahrenheit. By comparison, Pfizer's vaccine requires a storage temperature of minus 94 degrees Fahrenheit. Whoa. The federal government announced last week that it will purchase an additional 100 million doses of Moderna's vaccine. The U.S. entered into an agreement with Moderna in August to acquire 100 million doses for about $1.5 billion. Moderna said that month it was charging $32 to $37 per dose for its vaccine for some customers under cheaper pandemic pricing. The company said it was in discussion for larger volume agreements that will have a lower price. So, family, trust and believe, they don't have our... If you can get out of this, get out of this, because this is a clinical trial that they're running right now, and they don't care who they use. They don't care. They're not worrying about the safety of the people. Because, like, again, if it's so safe, why aren't they vaccinated? If it's so safe, why isn't the CEO of Pfizer and his family vaccinated? And he was quoting and saying, because I'm going to ask him that, he was quoting and saying, no, we got to get the public first. Not worrying about my health. What? Get out of here. Family, let us be righteous in our judgments. Let us be righteous in our ways. Let us do the things that are required of us for our Heavenly Father. Again, let us not shortchange one another. You know, because the world ain't looking out for us at the end of the day. I know we say it again, you know, we said it before, say it again, we all we got, because it's the truth. All right, family. So, again, I would just put that on my mind just to share with y'all, you know, this vaccine and all that's going on. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, you know. So, that being said, that ends my 6 weeks. Our brother Hub be coming up. And is there any information about the race of people which has side effects, or if the side effects have been among various races? They didn't say anything about race. I've seen, if I come across anything, I definitely will share that, you know. But one of the places that they did say they were in Alaska, and I know Alaska has a diversity of people, because most people that are up there are either in the Army or the Air Force, you know, they military. But if any information comes out about that, I definitely will share. Definitely. But if there are any questions or comments or anything, just put them on the chat line. Y'all know how we do. Put them on the chat line. You know, with me and my. Brothers, Zakins, it's enough knowledge here that we will answer your question. And if we don't know, Abba will tell us. You know? So, family, our brother Harbell's going to come up next week and, you know, say the things that Abba puts on his mind, everything. Abba opened up his mind to the wonders of his word. Our teacher, who's teaching this week, I think, I hope it's Ariel. Ariel, teaching this week. I will open up his mind to his word. You know, we continue to get fed. So, family, Shabbat Shalom. We're going to end with a prayer and everything. I hope Abba just continue to just open up your word, open up your mind. Be better, sons and daughters. Blessed are you Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua, our Mashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Thank you once again for the breath of life. Thank you once again for the Shabbat day. Thank you once again, Father, for unveiling the adversary's traps, showing what he's up to, Father, keeping your word to us, Father. Your word says that we are not ignorant to his devices. We can't be as long as we listen to you. Father, put your spirit upon our brother, Ahab El. Open up his mind for the next 6 weeks to your word. Put your spirit upon our brother, Ariel. Open up his mind as he brings forth your word this evening. Put your spirit upon everybody who's listening, Father, and everybody who will listen. Open up our minds and allow us to grasp that which is profitable for us. Edify us, Father. Edify us. Continue to grow us into the men and the women that you desire us to be, the sons and the daughters, Father, that you desire of us. Increase our learning of you. Increase our knowledge of you. Continue to bring us closer to you step by step, Father. Allow us and give us the strength to endure to the end. Give us the strength to overcome any adversities that the adversary sets between us. And just thank you for loving us, Father. In Yahushua's name, just give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family.
Israel, who cuts away on the rocket.